It's more than just your output, more than a bike. When you hear your shout out, you know it's all right. Put on your magic pants and let's go. We're cruising into the power zone. Clip in, set yourself free. Come on and take a ride with me. You know what you need to know and what's it all about. Everything you need, it's on the Clip Out.
Welcome to the Clip Out Podcast, episode 342. This is Crystal O'Keefe.
And this is Tom O'Keefe. We are back.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So far, so good.
I mean, I haven't been hit by a car, so.
That's true.
But
it's not February yet.
That's true. February 5th, coming up on the anniversary.
Oh, I was going to say I won't be in town that day, but I leave the next day.
Wow. Well,
so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, on a brighter note, well, yes. You not getting hit by a car is a bright note.
That is true.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
But reminiscing about you getting hit by a car, that is not
just,
a bright
note. It's just weird how much it's in, on my mind lately.
Yeah.
You know?
I get
anyway.
That. So before we dig into the show proper, I guess we should start by saying that the next book club is just around the corner.
Yeah. Next Tuesday, a week from yesterday. Well, so by the time people hear this, it'll be like in 3 days. Just... Don't pay attention to anything else I said.
Let's not bring math into this.
No, January 9th, Tuesday.
There we go.
Just look at your calendar.
And
I don't even know what year it is.
Is?
Okay, so this is still the January book. So we're finishing up Book Lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next book that we are going to start is Turning Inward by Ross Rayburn. So I am super excited to read that. For those of you that it pre-ordered, it'll be out on January 9th. And there are still tickets available for the big book launch in New York City. So get to go to that, first of all, I am so jelly. And second of all, let us know about that if you do get to go. But anyway, that'll be the next book. And I can't wait to read that. I can't wait to discuss Book Lovers. This has been a fun read. I know you didn't read this one, Tom, but it was an interesting one. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good story.
Well,
so
that's good.
I can't wait to hear everybody's thoughts on it.
Yeah, absolutely. We should also say that you might recall last year we launched the Peloton Timeline. And since 2023 has just concluded, we have added to the timeline and it is now live and on our website if you want to go check it out.
Yeah.
I thought you'd have more to say about the timeline.
Well, I was looking at the timeline earlier and I think that might be what got me thinking about the accident, actually getting hit by a car, because I was thinking about how weird this past year was, because it was full of like these really, really big highs and
right.
these really, really low lows. And
yeah.
And I'm not really sorry to see 2023 go. I mean, not as much as I wanted 2020 out of here, but 2023
yes.
was not the best year. So I'm hoping 2024 is going to go better.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Did you getting hit by the car make the timeline?
No, it didn't.
No,
it did not. Yeah. So Diana is no longer in charge.
Is that why?
No.
Because she left you off.
she was just like, yeah, I don't really feel like I want to spend my time on this anymore. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
I totally get it.
And she did 10 years of it.
I mean,
right?
that's amazing.
Absolutely.
And we are so grateful to all the time
For
that
sure.
she put in. But we will still be continuing the timeline. It'll just... a little different process going
Correct.
Forward.
And finally, we should hit the fact that we launched the bingo.
We are launching
bingo.
We are.
And so you call out an instructor each week to let them know which one they should do so they can get through all of them in the year to complete their bingo card.
Yes.
So it's coverall. So this week, in order to keep us on track, brace yourself. There's three instructors. So
yes.
we're going to call one out now. We're going to call one out later. And we're going to call one out in this week's Patreon bonus episode. Now, before you pause this episode to write us a tersely worded email, we also this week, now we won't do this every time, but this week we are going to make the bonus episode free and available to everyone that's a Patreon member. So if you join the Patreon at the free level, all free level members this week will have access to the bonus episode. And the bonus episode this week, we had actually decided this before we decided to call out one of the bingo names in the episode. But like, there is so much jam-packed in the bonus episode this week. We were like, Maybe we should make this one free so everybody can hear, because it feels like we're leaving things out there so much.
There's a lot. So a lot in the bonus episode.
If you've been wondering if the bonus episode is worth your time, energy, and money.
Yeah, that's fair.
Here's a good way to find out. Now, it won't show up in your feed. You'll have to go over to the Patreon episode and listen to it on your desktop, because you won't have the RSS feed to have it just show up in your like magic podcast box. But if you subscribe,
you can.
Yeah, but it'll live over there. So you can go check it out. And if you like it and you want to subscribe, great. If not, you got this one for free. And there you go. So there's all that. Let's give the first name. Drum roll, please.
The first instructor on the bingo card is Christine CDE.
Christine D'Ercole. Okay.
Yes. So then you would just go into your... go to your card and you can bring it up on your favorite picture editor on your phone.
Yeah.
Like Instagram, and you just X.
And where can they get this card?
They can get this card anywhere. Like, you can get it on all of our socials. So you're going to be able to get it in Facebook. You're going to be able to get it in Patreon. I believe we're going to post it on Instagram as well. I don't think we're going to post it every week though. So you need to go grab it
right. And
then save it. The idea is that you black out the whole board by the end of the timeline, and we are not going to say what the prize is, but you will be able to get a special prize. No, I'm not going to check your answer. So just, you know, this is for you and it's for fun. So just go take a freaking class with Christine if you're going to mark it, you know?
Don't be a douche.
Right. Exactly.
Words to live by. So anyway. What, pray tell, do you have in store for people this week?
That wasn't enough.
That wasn't. Well, we haven't even got to what we have in store for people this week.
I know.
That was just house cleaning.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the new studio fees, because that's fascinating. I'm super fascinated by that. We're also going to talk about the new commercial that's dropping, new features that are dropping, some extra perks for the Chase Sapphire group. Also, there are lots of new instructor. There's news for the instructors, I should say. Lots of that. And there are going to be discussions about the artist series. We've got celebrity sightings. We've got content, all kinds of things. And like Tom said, you're going to be able to access the bonus episode, but a lot of stuff that I have not mentioned here is going to be over in the bonus episode as well. We're going to cover some top 10, some favorite things that happened in 2023. We're going to talk about even more instructor news. A lot got moved over there. So there's a lot.
Awesome. Well, before we get to all that, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, YouTube, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. While you're there, maybe leave us a review. Super helpful. You can also find us on the Facebook at facebook.com/theclipout. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Don't forget, you can also join our Patreon at patreon.com/theclipout. What that gets you is ad-free episodes. If we get them early, you get them early, and it gets you bonus content. And this week's episode, as we mentioned earlier, will be available to all Patreon subscribers at all levels, even the free level. So if you've been wanting to check it out and see what they are, but you didn't want to spend money to find out, well, here you go. Here's your chance. So also don't forget, you can sign up for our newsletter, which goes out mostly weekly at theclipout.com. So there's all of that. Let's dig in, shall we?
We shall.
Peloton in the news.
So last week it was quietly, I won't even say announced, it just happened.
It just happened. Yeah.
We now have new fees for attending the studio in different capacities.
Yeah. So it's interesting, right? Because there are always there's always opinions about anything that is done. You know how it is. I thought people's reactions to this were super fascinating because, okay, let's start with, you want to go to the studio just by yourself. That's going to cost, in the US, it's going to cost $35. I think it's £25 when you go to the studio in London. So a little bit different pricing, but pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just for you in a class by yourself. Now, if you want a group of people, then you have to pay a fee. And a fee is different depending on which studio you're in, how many people you have, and it also depends on what kind of class you're taking. So like yoga, for example, is a very different price than the cycling studio. Now, that makes sense because the yoga studio only fits like 7 people
right.
versus the cycling studio that fits like 40 people. So it's a big, I think it's 36 to be exact, but it's a big difference, right?
But you would think that there would be more demand for the bike studio than the yoga studio.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
And the prices show it.
Yeah.
the bike studio in the US is $1,000 if you want everybody.
So that's buying out all the bikes.
Buy out the bike.
But that's just the fee for the right to buy out all the bikes.
Correct.
It's like a PSL.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's, but you still
don't
have...
say PSL because they'll think you're talking about London.
Sorry, I was on my football. The one time I make a sports reference. Son of a but it's like an NFL PSL where you spend $1,000. Now you have the right to buy out the studio.
Yes.
But you still have to pay $35 a bike.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just want to make that clear.
Yeah. And the reason that you would want to pay that fee is because then Peloton will help you. Like it would be impossible to get 35 of your closest friends into the bike studio
for
in
sure.
one class. Like,
yeah.
it's just impossible.
Yeah.
But you could certainly do it this way by reaching out to Peloton and having them book it for you. And now you pay a fee. I think it's really fair. And a lot of people felt like it was fair because they're like, well, I would do whatever it takes to get into the studio, so I don't care. And then you have a whole bunch of other people that are like, Peloton's just money grubbing and they're just awful. All they care about is money. And to that, I say, yeah, funny how a company who's
publicly traded companies are funny that way
to make money.
Yeah.
So
$1,000.
Yes.
Is
for the cycling studio
to access the cycling studio.
Yeah.
Is not insubstantial, but I would think that most people that are probably trying to do something like that are probably corporations and organizations.
Or groups. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's, you know, most people aren't trying to buy out the studio as a private person, one wouldn't think.
I'm laughing because I happen to know that has happened before.
I'm sure it has.
But no, in general, to your point, it is, there are oftentimes it will be like a group. There are so many communities,
right?
Sub communities within the Peloton community where it's like, okay, so I don't know, the Peloton foodie group all wants to go in and ride together.
Okay, but here's another way to look at it. If there's 36 bikes in there, that's about $28 a person extra. So if you want to ride with your Peloton foodie group, then now you're going to pay like $55,
which is still totally reasonable.
Yeah,
like it's not that crazy of an increase. Now, the interesting thing I thought about it was that there's, I think that there were very different prices for, like, if you wanted to do yoga or strength, and it was closer to like $300. Oh, I forgot to mention too, that if you only wanted to have a small group, you don't have to buy out all the bikes. You could only buy out 5 bikes,
mm-hmm.
and you would still have to pay
a
fee.
It's like prorated in some capacity.
It's like, I think it was like 5 through 14, and then it was like 15 through 36.
Gotcha.
Don't quote me on that. Read the article, because it's right in there.
Yeah.
But, and Tom has it on screen. He's just not scrolling down. where all the details are, and that's okay. It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
The point that I was going to make is that if you want to do a small group or you want to do the tread studio, that's around your $300 per person. But if you want to do, let's say, the yoga, this is interesting to me. Yoga had only $100 concierge fee for 4 to 5 people, and if you wanted to buy out the whole thing. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And
like
then
I said, I just think there's less demand.
And it's just so small.
Yeah.
It's so small.
But smaller, you would think, would make the price go up because there's less supply. But I think there's less demand. And so it's not as crucial.
Well, and I don't remember that the cycling studio in London felt that much smaller. But I mean, they're only charging $200 for a fee. 200 pounds. I'm sorry, 200 pounds.
I feel like some of that is because they're not as popular in London as they are in America.
Well, that could be. I mean, it is. That is true.
Yeah.
It just absolutely is true. It's not even up for debate. But I just thought it was interesting that it's such a difference between 1,000 and 200 pounds. So nobody's really called that out. And I would say that's probably because the people who are benefiting from that, like, they're just like, yay.
Yeah,
and those who are not benefiting from it aren't really going to pay attention because they're not even paying attention to what the London prices are. They're just paying attention to what the price is in New York.
Yeah. So my guess behind all this, because I think in the grand scheme of things, this isn't going to generate a lot of revenue.
No, it's definitely not.
For Peloton. So when people are like, it's a cash grab, like, it's, I really like,
it's like this much.
This is not where, this is not what's going to turn the company around. I think what this ultimately is, it's a nuisance fee. It's like if you, so when the next time when people call, like, I want to rent out the whole studio. Okay. It's $1,000.
Well, and here, okay. And I agree with you. I totally agree with you. But it does raise some interesting things. First of all, I look at it whenever I was in accounting and I was at a business where I was heavily involved in the accounting. We would often look at it like, how can we pay for this person's salary? So I could see that, like, there is one person dedicated to this, or, you know, mm-hmm. maybe it's two people, but it's half time or whatever.
Right.
You're paying for their salary.
Yeah.
Because that's literally all they're going to be doing. But where it gets interesting is, you have to basically send a form in, and you have to do it, I think it was like no sooner than, I want to say it was like 6 weeks out. Mm-hmm. It has to be before they've released the next schedule. So maybe it was 10 weeks out.
Okay.
Okay. So then you have to say, like, you have to fill out this form to be able to be like, okay, my favorite instructor is this or that. These are my choices. You have to do all that. But the crazy part is, how many people are going to be signing up for that one thing, right? You're going to have. So how do you choose? How do you choose which group gets it? And that is the part that people are mad about, because how do we know if it was first come, first serve? How do we know that it's not the same people that are in studio now and they make such a huge deal out of being there? How do we know that they're not calling up their buddy and saying, give me the studio because I like you? And because people do that all the time.
Yeah.
There are people that really irritate me with their snottiness about how they like to lord it over everybody else, how they're there. And that's what people are really upset about, that they don't feel like this actually helps them. It's just taking, you're not able to see it. They feel like some groups get ignored and they feel like some groups get favorited.
Well, I guess we shall see.
We shall.
I think what will be really interesting is if you start to see situations where they start charging you different amounts
for different instructors. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that either.
Which also makes sense. I mean, it's supply and demand. And there are going to be some people that are willing to pay a lot more for a Cody or a Robin than some of the other instructors. Not to be a dick, I don't want to call anybody out by name. But there are just, I mean, you can, what is Instagram? It's a popularity contest. You can go and look and see which instructor is more popular.
I mean, come on. Yeah. There's different. They all have different fees for doing a speech or showing up for an appearance. So how would this be any different?
For sure.
And I also think it's going to be, you know, I think this is the precursor for more to come. I don't think we're done seeing fees. And in fact, I think we're going to see more. And I know we were joking around in the last episode about all the different packages that we would love to see before they announced this.
Right.
But like, I think it's coming.
And we should say before we move on, or I will point out so you don't have to, you've been predicting this for some time.
Thank you. So. There's a lot of people out there that like to pat me on the head and say, oh, you're a girl. You don't know anything. We know better. But there you
look at that. Yeah. You were right once again. Yeah. So moving along, we had one final collaboration sneak in before the end of 2020.
Official collaboration.
And so that was, you could now access YouTube on your Peloton equipment.
Yes. And I want to be clear about this because it's going to be confusing to people. It was already on your bike. It was already there. The difference is Peloton inked a deal with them. It was still in beta and now it's not in beta anymore. A lot of people were confused by that.
And I get that. If you're already seeing it on your bike, you're like, it's already there. Big whoop.
Right,
but it's like, but they were testing it out. It could go away at any moment.
This is the first of many to come, right? Because we already see all the others being tested. So
for sure. Pretty soon you'll be able to get like Crackle on there.
Don't want it.
No, nobody does. Nobody wants Crackle. Peloton dropped a new commercial this week.
Yeah, this is really cool because this is a real honest to God Peloton user, Shanta May, which, you know, she's been part of the community for a long time and she's been working on, you know, coming back, like using the Peloton to move, to be better, to be healthy, you know, to be able to move her muscles.
Right.
And the whole point of this commercial is like, that's different than like, oh, I'm trying to be an athlete, or I'm trying to take my athletic skills to the next level and, I don't know, go try out for the Olympics or something like that. Like she's just trying to like be healthy,
like recuperate from something. She looks like she was like,
she has a whole story. I don't really want to share her story because it's not my place to.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a whole thing there.
Gotcha. But I did like the spot in that. I know Peloton still kind of has a reputation in some circles as like, oh, it's the thing where they yell at you, so you try harder. And like, that's not what Peloton does. They've never done that. And I feel like this kind of sends that message is that, yes, elite athletes can use it, but it's not just for them. Don't let that scare you away.
Yeah, I agree. And I also thought it was cool that they showed other people rehabbing injuries. Now, I'm not clear if those folks are part of the Peloton community or they were, quote unquote, just actors for a commercial. I couldn't tell. But I really liked the spot. Also, people have asked, like, will we see this on TV? I'm hopeful we will. I'm hopeful we're going to see it. You know, they used to do ads on like the Super Bowl.
Right.
Is that that's coming up in January, right?
I think in February.
February, yes, okay. But,
yeah.
Soon-ish. And maybe we'll see it there. I don't know. Time will tell.
We also had a new video on Instagram this week for Tread Talks.
Yeah. It's just interesting. People are asking a lot of questions like, why are we going to start seeing these Tread Talks like all the time? I really think what they're trying to do is get people to understand why the Tread and the Tread Plus are different than your traditional treadmill, especially, I should say, the Tread Plus. Like, it is a giant piece of equipment, and some people just don't realize like why it's worth the extra money. And so I really think this is just kind of a commercial, but it not like a true commercial, what I would call a social media commercial.
Right.
So I think that's it. No, I don't think we're going to see like a whole series of these being a true talking point. Not like Fitness Flipped was or something.
Right.
People have asked me that question. So
it doesn't seem like it's designed to be that. It's just kind of like, here's what makes the Tread Plus different from the Tread.
That's how I took it. Yeah, I agree.
Peloton and Chase Sapphire have teamed up again, and now you get extra perks for purchasing a Tread Plus.
Yeah. So I think it was a total of you can earn a total of a max
$1,650.
Yeah, in travel rewards if you buy the Tread Plus. And I know we've talked about this before, but I just want to say that like, just be careful and watch your dates, because you have to match the dates that are on Chase Sapphire's website. So make sure it gets, if it says has to be delivered by, has to be purchased by, you know, just make sure you get all that checked out.
Yeah, there was some issues with a promotion like this a year or so ago where Peloton pushed it out and the dates didn't match what Chase Sapphire
said.
And it
was by a matter of like 24 hours.
Yeah.
This was not like weeks different.
Right. It was real. And like, and Chase Sapphire, they were real dicks about it. And they were like, you bought outside of the window, suck it.
Yep.
It got ugly for some people. So
it did.
Just be careful.
Man, there is nothing worse than when you buy a pair of sunglasses and then you lose or break them.
I would agree. So what do we do about that?
Well, that's where Gooder comes in. Their sunglasses are $25 each, so nobody likes to throw away $25, but it's a lot better than throwing away $100 or more dollars on a pair of broken sunglasses, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I have to say, that's not my favorite part about Gooder. My favorite part about Gooder is that when I run, they don't slip, they don't bounce, and they're 100% polarized. And they also come in like a million different colors and styles.
For your $25, you're not sacrificing comfort, safety, or style. If you want to support the show and pick up a pair, Gooder is giving the Clip Out listeners free shipping on their first order. Just go to gooder.com/TCO. That's GOODR.com, and use code TCO to get free shipping.
Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Find your pair at gooder.com/TCO and use code TCO to get free shipping.
You know, so many people look to avoid carbs these days for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
And that means you have to give up so many great foods. But I think one of the hardest things is bread.
Yeah, because a lot of times the carb reduction also means that the texture changes. It means that the taste changes. So that can feel like a lot to give up.
And that's where Hero Bread comes into play. This is the first white bread I've had in
forever.
Years. I couldn't even tell you how long. Yeah. 10 years?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time.
I missed you, white bread.
Well, it's nice because Hero Bread, it's actually a large piece of bread, like you would say a normal size piece of bread.
Larger than normal.
Yeah, I mean,
like Texas toast size.
Yeah. And the texture is real bread.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's amazing.
I just had it as toast.
Yeah.
I didn't have to. It wasn't like, oh, it's a sandwich. Toast.
And you enjoyed it.
I did. It's 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 gram sugar, and it's high in fiber.
Don't give up on bread. Hero Bread is offering 10% off of your order. Go to hero.co and use TCO at checkout.
That's TCO at hero.co.
New features.
So Lane Break got some new features since we last recorded.
It did, yeah. And so one of the things, it's been a while now that Lane Break has been available on the Tread, not the Tread Plus yet, but it is available on the Tread. And people have made a lot of commentary, a lot of feedback to Peloton about that, like, it's difficult to go that fast.
We're not all CJ Albertson Peloton.
Exactly. So when you're trying to like switch, you know, you got to move really, you know, you have to be running really fast for a long time or speed up to do sprints. So for that reason, and just for the reason that it's some people just don't want to run all the time, they have added walking to Lane Break on the Tread. So now any of the classes you take, you can use walking feature as the target speed when you're choosing your difficulty. So that's super helpful for people who are more focused on their walking rather than running.
Yeah.
The other cool part is that they added a bunch of new shapes and colors. I absolutely love what they have done because different, like if you do a class and then you do another class right after it, you will notice that they have two very different color schemes and the shapes that are in the background that like they're like pulsing with light, they pulse at the exact perfect moment with the bass, like with the rhythm of the music.
Okay.
So it feels very immersive. And it's not like it was super off before, but like it's really on beat now. So especially when you're doing a class where there is an intense beat, it is very fun, in my opinion, because of the difference. You feel more immersed in it. And then in addition to all of that, you can now stack the classes for Lane Break. So that's super exciting as well. I tell you what, I have not done, like, I haven't been doing any biking classes other than Lane Break lately, and I have been loving it. And I can't wait till Lane Break makes it over to the Tread Plus. I'm very excited about that. I'll probably be walking too.
Well, you'll call it running, but
I will.
They'll probably classify it as walking.
That's true.
And that's because that's how you say you run.
It is absolutely true. No, I'm very well aware of how slow I am.
Still doing more than me.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Unless we're at Disney.
Coming up after this, we got instructors in the news. So we're going to talk about what's going on with Robin and Jess Sims and Ross Rayburn. So stick around.
Instructors in the news.
Ross Rayburn has announced his official book launch event.
Yes, it is January 9th. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, there are still tickets as of this recording. So if you want to be there, you need to get your tickets ASAP. Also, I am super jelly and let us know how it goes.
also, if I can add an also to your also.
Sure.
Don't forget, he is the next item up for bid in the Clip Out Book Club.
Yeah, he's going to be the February book read, and we are going to be doing our book club for that book on February 13th. So you have plenty of time to get your book and read it before then.
Robin Arzón is the newest fitness contributor for Good Morning America.
She sure is. And she was very excited about it. And I have to say, I really loved her little pop of color with her tights on her outfit. Yeah. I heard through the grapevine, this is completely like rumor,
okay,
that she had been kind of pushing Allie to help her get in there. So I don't know. That's true or not. I Thought it was interesting.
It makes sense, though, that you got connections in there. You're going to...
Why would you not use it?
You're going to leverage them. So it makes total sense. Well, congrats to her. That's really cool.
It is.
And speaking of Peloton instructors on your TV, Jess Sims has expanded her role at ESPN.
She sure has. She is now going to be the Saturday primetime sideline reporter for men's college basketball. And it also could potentially mean that she's going to have a little less time teaching at Peloton. So not saying she's going anywhere. Please do not turn that into a panic. It was not meant to be one. But, you know, we did have the tarot card reader on, Erica McLean.
Yes.
And she had mentioned that, you know, at least one instructor she had felt would be kind of pushing back and doing some other things, not leaving Peloton, but maybe not teaching as much. And who knows? Maybe Jess Sims is that person. It could certainly be.
We had another proposal at Peloton of sorts.
We did. This is like the sweetest video. I teared up whenever I saw this. This was adorable because Leanne was filming and Ben Aldis gave John Hosking a present to open, and he opened it and it said best man question mark, and then John Hosking started crying, and then that's when I lost it. Like, I was just like, oh my god, it was so like real and yeah. sweet, and it was so like genuine. And Leanne had said, like, in the background, because she was the one filming, and you could hear her say, like, you've just been there so much for us the last couple of years. And you think about what Leanne's gone through with her cancer diagnosis, and they had to keep that to themselves, and they had wanted to get married before the cancer diagnosis, and then that kind of put the kibosh on that. And then, of course, Leanne's friend passing away. Like, it's just been a really tumultuous time for these two. And they clearly, like, it just, he had been such a good friend to them, and it showed. And I just thought it was a really, really, really sweet moment. They also said in their post that it's going to be a spring wedding. So we will be seeing that wedding pop up very, very soon. It's going to be in the spring this year, 2024.
Callie Gullickson is the newest ambassador for Lululemon.
She sure is. And I think that that's very exciting for her. And I'm so glad to see it. I know she's been wanting a partnership for a while now. And she loves Lululemon. So it is really exciting to see her get to be their brand ambassador. Congrats to Callie.
And finally, DJ John Michael showed off the new DJ booth in the studios.
He did. Yeah, it was brand new. And actually, I think you have the old one up.
The old one up? Hang on. There we go.
Oh, that is the old one. My bad. I told you.
So I had the right one up?
You had the right one.
So this, I would like you to say within the episode itself that I was right.
You were right, Tom. I'm so sorry.
Gonna make that my ringtone.
But then it'll be wrong so often.
you don't call me that much. It'll be fine.
But it's got all new like lighting and colors and kind of a new shape to it. So that was really fun. Great way to start off the New Year's Eve class that Jess King and DJ John Michael did. And we will talk about this more in the bonus episode. But holy cow, was Jess King's Brittany Allen outfit amazing. Now listen, Tom. Now, I am not one to get that excited about clothes. And
We have a closet full of leggings that says otherwise, but go on.
To watch something and be excited about it. But what was cool about it is that Jess King was dressed up when she got there in a tuxedo. And then it had snaps on it. Brittany Allen had designed it so that it had snaps on it. She ripped it
like
off.
Breakaway?
Yes. Yeah. And then it turned into a disco ball for New Year's Eve. How amazing. It was so cool. And Brittany Allen posted this whole post about how she made the outfit. It was like 44 hours of hand-sewn labor that went into this. It was insane. So yeah, I just thought that Brittany Allen deserved a little mention there since we're talking about the New Year's Eve.
Okay, well, they can hear more about that in the bonus episode.
They can.
Which is open to everyone this week.
It is.
Coming up after this, we're going to tell you about the latest artist series, and we're going to talk about which celebrities were spotted on their Pelotons. I think we got a couple new ones, so stick around.
Peloton Artist Collaboration.
The latest artist series features Zach Bryan.
Okay. You know what stood out to me? Because I don't know who this guy is.
I don't either.
I just thought it was funny that his name is Zach and Brian shoved together.
I don't know why that didn't click for me. For listeners, I have two sons, Zach and Brian. So.
And Brian spells his name that way.
With Zach a Y. Does not.
Zach does not. Yeah. Yeah. But I just thought it was funny. I saw that and I was like,
yeah,
what?
That is funny. That explains why whenever I hear this guy's name, I feel like I've heard of him, even though I've never heard of him. And I can't believe I've never connected the dots that it's like, oh, it's because of my children. So,
and Tom is a man, ladies and gentlemen.
My father of the year card. So
that's okay. If it makes you feel any better, I guarantee you, I would pay money that you would show this to your son, Brian,
yes,
and he would have no idea.
No clue at all.
None.
None whatsoever.
Even after we explained it, I'm not sure he would get it.
He'd be like, I don't listen to country. I don't know what you're
talking
about.
That's exactly what he would say.
Yeah. So that's where he gets that from.
I know.
It's like, that's so scary thing is, like, I may never made that connection, and I'm still the one they gave custody to. That's how bad it is on the other side. So anyway, Zach Bryan is your latest artist series.
He hopefully sure is.
I don't know if he's country, but with a name like that, it sounds country.
I just figure
he's holding the guitar.
He got the guitar.
Yeah.
He's got to be. And the shirt looks country.
Yeah, like, but there's no hat, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah, but hats these days aren't as...
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying the hat would be like, yes, that's for sure country.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, I do agree. But I'm going to go with country. I've never heard of him. But
there we go.
Yeah.
Peloton celebrity sightings.
Ludacris kicked off 2024 on a Peloton on a boat.
Yeah, I would say it's a little more than a boat. That's a freaking yacht.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't put a Peloton on a pontoon.
You don't. You do not. But yeah, it looks like a beautiful, looks very Yar worthy. She's very Yar.
Okay. All I know is Yar's Revenge.
Oh, I think that's 80s, Yaw.
The old 80s is video it Yar? Game.
Okay. Well, we should probably not talk about things we have no idea. Somebody out there is going to be yelling at us.
That's true.
Yeah. But anyway, thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was just a neat video.
Absolutely. And then also this week, we learned that Vanna White digs Peloton as well.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool. Is she still doing the
turning of the letters?
Yeah.
Yes, they're getting a new host. It was at Ryan Seacrest that they hired, but
I
believed they inked a deal to keep her around. Like people thought maybe they just reboot the whole thing,
yeah,
but they didn't. I think they inked a deal to keep her around for a bit of time too. So.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Especially like hey man, you're paid to be a model and turn letters on a TV show and like look at Price is Right. That role is designed to be flipped out for the next 22-year-old.
Yep.
And here we are, what, 40 years later and she's still doing it. So
yeah.
Hat tip for holding on to that gig, because that is in that line of work. That is unheard of.
And she looks amazing. Not amazing for her age. She looks amazing. Period. End of sentence.
New content.
So I guess let's begin this segment by giving them their next bingo name.
Okay. That sounds like a great idea. So we have Marcel, instructor number two, Marcel Maurer. So you've got Christine and Marcel.
Okay. And if you want to know who the third one is, there won't be three every week. Don't worry. But we figured January, everybody's like, I got to get back to it and overperforming. So this is the week to give you three. If you want to hear the third one, it'll be in this week's bonus episode, which you can actually access for free over at the patreon.com/theclipout. And at the free level, we'll get it this week. So you got to sign up, but we don't need your credit card or anything like that. It'll be over there for free waiting for you. So we have this week at Peloton.
We do. Yeah. There was a interesting stuff that got added this week. First of all, there was a new Dennis Reset, which everybody really enjoys those classes. But I thought it was also interesting that that Peloton was featuring a merengue walk with, I think it was Camilla.
Okay.
So, that was interesting. There's also a new German collection, and it's going to be a 10 by 10 strength class with Eric Jaeger. So I thought that was interesting as well. By the time you hear that, that those classes will be out. But just want to make sure that we highlight all the fun stuff that dropped this week.
So normally in this space, we give you the TCO top five of the week. But this week, we're going to give, we pulled the top 10 of 2023.
Yeah, I thought we had a lot of really fun flashbacks this week. And you're, again, going to hear more about that over in the bonus episode. But we did a top 10 of all of the different top fives. So from July of 2023 was a 30-minute Christina Aguilera hike with Rebecca Kennedy. This one, people absolutely loved it. It was came in as one of Rebecca Kennedy's favorite or best hikes, people said. And the playlist was phenomenal for anyone who grew up listening to Christina Aguilera. And then in also in July, 727 30-minute Motley Crue ride with Sam Yoe. Now, Sam Yoe shows up a lot as favorite favorite classes, but this actually came from Helper B. Nikki. Sam's Motley Crue ride was masterful. He let the music shine, completely committed to the bit and the character, created a solid workout with thematic cues sprinkled in versus giving a full wiki rundown of the band's history. I love that. Man, July was just a really big month. We also had coming out in July was the Barbie ride, 30-minute Barbie ride with Olivia Amato. Again, this one was raved about. People said, this came from Kelly Quirk, I guess that's separately. It was so fun. The soundtrack was great. The message was on point. And unlike her usual rides, it wasn't entirely at 103 cadence for 30 minutes. So I could manage. I agree with that. I'm not a huge like Barbie. I'm not a huge Olivia class taker. That class was amazing. So fun. Okay. Now, the next one is actually three classes. It's a little bit of a cheat, but that is because in September we had Salt and Peppa. Three classes that people absolutely loved. Okay, so there was the dance cardio with Jess King. There was a 15-minute ride with Allie Love and a 15-minute walk with Jess Sims. All three people absolutely loved. And there was there's so much. This is a picture here, if you're watching, of Helper B. Lindsay getting her dance cardio on. but people loved the playlists on all three of the classes and how much fun they were. And it just brought everything back for people. Then from coming in at number six, this was from October. There was a 5-minute core strength with Robin, and people absolutely loved it. Stephanie Lato said that Robin's 5-minute core strength had her was awesome, and it was her new go-to 5-minute core. Somebody took it four times the first week it came out. Also in October, of course, there was that was an emotional month. That was whenever Jen Sherman did a pop ride. It was 45 minutes in on October 13th, and she had a tough week that week. And she was talking about the latest Israel Hamas war. And, you know, she's Jewish, proudly so. And she talked about her feelings of that. And it really touched a lot of people, Jewish and non-Jewish alike. So wanted to make sure that we talked about that one as well. And what a powerful playlist for that moment. Also in October, it was Halloween. Maddie's Halloween walk. It was 30 minutes, and this was an amazing class. This was a walk from 1029. He dressed up as an alien, and it was one of my favorite classes that Maddie has ever done. He did like Alien or Not Alien for all of these different celebrities or famous people. It was hilarious. And he was in like character the whole time. It was so good. Then also in October, 120-minute Power Zone Endurance ride with Matt Wilpers. Now, we got to remember that was the first 2-hour Power Zone Endurance class ever, and people loved it.
They went crazy for that one.
They did. So lots of love for that one. And of course, Matt Wilpers. And then we had in November, we had 1989 Taylor's Version. It was a 30-minute class with Selena, and it was fantastic. It had all of the best songs on it from 1989. And people said that it had a nice long warm up and a cool down, and it had wonderful intervals throughout. So just a great class. Coming in at number one was the epic sing along. It was a 30 minute one in November, but you have to realize this was a very special class, and it was special because it was all celebrating Jen Sherman's 10 years teaching at Peloton. So get chills talking about that. People absolutely loved it. So if you didn't get to take any of those classes, make sure you check them out over at theclipout.com. So it's a great way to make sure you get some epic classes.
Absolutely. The top 50 song series is back.
It is. It was an interesting one. I like the way they've done it this year. They've very carefully spelled out that, and I think they've done this in years past, where you have the countdown of songs, but then they repeat those songs over all of the different modalities. So if you take 50 through 41, for example, you might have a walk plus run. But then if you go over and take the bike class 50 through 41, you're going to have the exact same tracks. You just have a different instructor.
Okay.
So it was a lot of fun. I took the walk and run that Rebecca Kennedy did, which happened to be the 50 to 41. It was amazing. I learned a new song. This was the one that had NF, the Hope song I sent you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. So freaking good. Like, I listened to it like 10 times. Sydney was like, okay, we get it. And then there was a lot of favorites throughout the
series. She'd
been
like, do you know how many times you made me watch Frozen?
I know, right?
You're going to sit here and listen to this song every damn time I play it and not say a word.
But what I love about the 50 song series is it's not just what was new and hot this year. It's what the instructors played and people hearted all year long from all different genres, all different, decades. So there's stuff on here that's old. There's stuff on here that's brand new. I'd never heard of. And I love that about it. And I love learning new things. And I love seeing what everybody else is enjoying.
And finally, we had a nice review from Helper B Tina talking about Callie's soundtrack strength series.
Yeah. And I always knew I'd get around to these, but like Tina was basically made me go do it immediately because she spoke about it so glowingly. There's all these favorite movies like The Princess Diaries or Legally Blonde. And Callie took these classes and she did a whole theme around it. She dressed up in a way that the characters would have dressed up. She did the songs from it, and it's a whole thing. It's an experience. Each one of these is an experience, and Callie's just fun. So if you haven't gotten a chance to take these, highly recommend that you do. I first started AG1 because I wanted to have more energy every day, and I was surprised that not only did I get that, but I also could focus better.
And you have a marathon to train for.
I do. Give me all the things. I replace my vitamins. I have prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes, B vitamins, folate, magnesium. It's all in there. One scoop.
That's because AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support.
Yes. And I like to recommend it to people because it's also NSF certified for sport, and I will not take a supplement that is not. If there's one product that I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why we've partnered with them for so long.
If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1.
Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/clipout.
That's drinkag1.com/clipout.
Check it out.
Peloton birthdays.
And we got two birthdays this week coming up on January 9th. It is the birthday of Adrian Williams.
Oh, happy birthday, Adrian.
And on January 11th, Hannah Frankson.
Well, happy birthday to Hannah Frankson.
Coming up after this, we're going to talk to Vin Criticorn. He's an actor in New York. He's of Thai descent. He talked to Sam Yeo about being in The King and I. And he also talks about a fascinating way that he makes money as an actor that is very new and non-traditional. I think you're going to dig it. So stick around.
Checking in with the Peloton community.
Joining us today via the magic of ZoomTube is Ven Criticorn. Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
Good. How are you?
Good. That is a fun name to say.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. I mean, that's really great because it's also my stage name. So I'm glad that works out. Something catchy. But it is my actual name.
I was going to do this in a different order. But now that you said stage name, let's get into what you do for a day job. So tell us a little bit about what you mean by stage name and what your day job is.
Yeah. So I say stage name because I'm an actor in New York City. I do theater, primarily theater, some TV and some other odd end things. For a side job, I think as any actor, survival job, it's whatever it takes. I've worked in restaurants. I've done catering and serving, hosting, all hospitality stuff. Currently, I'm working at home in this company. It's called Mersion. And we do digital puppeteering of avatars to facilitate learning experiences for companies.
That sounds fascinating.
Digital puppetry.
Did that make sense?
I don't know.
I know what all the words mean, but not in that order.
Digital puppetry. Yeah. Does that mean animation for puppets?
But live?
It's basic. It's if you imagine like the metaverse and you're basically in a simulation. And I'm an avatar. I'm digital puppeteering an avatar with a learner. And we're pretending a scenario that helps them learn a certain type of training that their company provides.
Okay.
Fascinating.
So, let me turn this into something that maybe my brain can handle.
So this will be pop culture because it's what Tom always does.
What? That's offensive.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway,
go ahead.
At Disney World, they have Turtle Time with Crush, where you go in and you look at Crush and he comes out, but it's live. It's happening in front of you. He can interact with you. He'll actually call out kids in the audience like, hey, one in the red shirt or whatever, and talk back and forth with them. And you see what looks like Pixar animation of Crush, but clearly there's a guy in the background controlling it somehow. Is that digital puppetry?
Yeah, that's such a great reference. That's pretty much exactly what it is.
I can finally tell people what puppeteer. I do and they'll understand it.
Actually, that's what I'm going to steal that from now. I think that's such a great, because that you get it right away. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
Except instead of, I guess, what at Disney World they do, it's about like this in the sea. For us, it depends on what the client needs in terms of a very specific type of training that they want their employees to learn. We implement that training in a scenario for them.
So why does the digital puppetry help with that as opposed to a training film or just like a video Zoom call?
Okay, I picture it's because they're teaching them things like how to be a spy. That's what I'm picturing. Is it anything like that?
See, difference between boys and girls. I was totally like, this is porn. You're doing porn.
It's probably more boring than you think. It's like very specific type of training, like diversity training, say, or how to talk to, if you're a manager, how to talk to your employees in a way that's like safe. So we create a scenario around that in a safe space for them to actually implement their training. So it's not just about watching. It's actually about doing and implementing the training so they can actually use it in their work environment.
I really like that, actually, because I never was a fan of like when you went into a room and at work and then they would be like, oh, let's pretend, let's do some scenarios. I hated being in like a group of people and role playing. Mm-hmm. Like it's my worst nightmare.
For
an actor, you probably have to do that kind of thing all the time. For me, that is like my worst nightmare.
Exactly. So in this case, I don't know if they're role playing per se, but they're basically, it's like a typical scenario that they'll find in their work environment. And then they have to implement a certain type of training to facilitate whatever it is in the scenario provides. And it's something that no one else will see. So we create the safe space for them because a lot of the time they might not know what to do. Mm-hmm. They might go about in the way that perhaps might be, I don't know if there's like a right or wrong answer to go about it, but they might go in a way that might be a little bit more detrimental to your coworker. Or so we want to keep it in a space that is safe for them to try things out.
That's cool.
No, that makes total sense. Like you need a place to fail.
Where it's okay. Low stakes.
Exactly.
Low
failing
stakes
is learning, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
But the majority of the employees are actors because they need people who are good with improv and think on their feet. Basically the same as the turtle.
Yeah, because I've seen it multiple times and they do a version of it like on the Disney cruise and it's always different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's never the same thing.
And I'm such a nerd. I'm always surprised he's actually talking to you. I don't know why. It always surprises me. I'm like, but he's really there,
And some of the things that he comes up with is hilarious. For every question, there's like an answer. And the animation is also just, it feels like it's actually happening, which is, I don't know how they do that, but it's pretty incredible.
That's the Disney magic.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
Do you like doing that as an actor? Does it feel like acting? Does it use the same muscles, if you will?
Yeah, I think that's why there's a lot of actors in the company, because it employs like a lot of similarities, like improv, being in the moment. Also, like we're a bunch of empaths, so we really feel like you're like really helping the learner. So yeah, it's better personally. I think it's better than being a server, which I've also done. So I would do this job in a heartbeat over,
hospitality. Well, the commute can't beat the commute in the hours.
I was thinking that.
Also, exactly.
If you have to go somewhere for like your quote unquote real job, you can still probably knock this out during the day if you need to. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating.
I just roll out of bed and just do it. Also, because they see an avatar, they don't see us. It doesn't really matter.
You could just roll out of bed, not have done your hair. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. I'll do a quick warm up. I'm ready to go.
That's great.
Yeah.
So have you ever had, I know you can't go into too much detail. Have you ever had a moment where you're going through this training and you're just like, oh dear God, you can't say that.
I haven't done anything to that extreme, but a lot of learners make mistakes. A lot of learners, sometimes and the current client that I'm with, like these learners, some of them really want to learn. And when they make a mistake, sometimes they feel like they failed or like they did something right. And it could get pretty emotional sometimes. So it's really up to me to really guide them through it. It's not particularly about like feeling better per se. It's a learning experience.
Right.
So if you can change the perspective that like failing is actually learning, and we're doing in a space that you can actually make those mistakes, versus like when you go out into the actual real world, you probably might not want to do some of these things. But if no one actually reflects that to you, you'll never know.
Absolutely.
That's just fascinating. There's this whole thing that we had no clue existed.
None.
I just thought it was turtle time
so
and that
niche.
Was it.
It is so niche, but I'm fascinated by it.
As they say, the riches are in the niches.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. I don't have the rich part.
No, the niche part.
Yeah.
It's a very niche part. Yeah.
I got that part down. Yeah.
Okay. But so going back to what I usually start with, how did you originally find Peloton? Because it's weird that these worlds have all intersected in my head.
So random. I find it so random how this all came about. But I live in a building that has a Peloton bike.
Oh, okay.
That actually was donated by another resident who was in the building, and they decided to donate their Peloton bike to the gym. So we now all have a Peloton bike to use, which
that's
is great.
Wow. So cool.
That's very gracious.
They didn't want to move it. It's New York. They were like,
I'm like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Right. It's like either, I don't know what the situation is, but maybe they just didn't want it in their small apartment.
Oh yeah.
And so they donated to the building. And so it's been really lovely.
That makes sense too. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So how long has it been there? Because I know that for a while Peloton was very much like no bikes in public gyms.
Yeah. They've come back from that.
Yeah, so I think our building wanted to, but we couldn't because of some of those reasons. So that might be another reason why we had someone who donate the bike, but this was a while, maybe 2 years, two-ish years. I think it was around that time.
Okay.
You might be a felon.
I'm a felon. I love that bike.
That's the whole reason we had you on the show.
It was just to out your bike. Right.
We're like Chris Hansen for Peloton.
Have a seat.
The truth is coming out.
That's hilarious. So have you been using it for the whole 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. It's because it's the gym that's in the building. So it's pretty much available whenever, which is really nice because some days you don't have time to go out to the gym somewhere. So I'm just taking the elevator down a couple of levels and get a good workout in.
Yeah.
That's great. Does everyone log in on their own membership or in like you log out when you're done?
Yeah, gotcha. That's the one thing, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah, super easy.
For sure.
Not
like,
a big
no,
deal.
Like that's, and it's, yeah, I was just curious how totally. That part was working. Yeah.
How do you, I would think being an actor, you have to be in a certain shape. And so do you have to do cardio and weights? Do you just do cardio? What all do you do to like make sure that you're ready for anything with your job?
Yeah. I don't know if being an actor means that you have to be fit, but being healthy, I think, is important. And being able to quickly adapt to whatever the job might entail. For example, I have a show coming up in January where there's going to be some fight choreography happening. And so I'm thinking a little ahead that I want to at least be able and fit and prepared for whatever they throw at me, whatever pose or whatever the move they want me to do. I want to be able to do it. But I do a combination of cardio and strength training. I feel a balance is important and just eating healthy, I think, is also good. So I think it's all about balance, I feel like.
I always think that it being like, you seem on the younger side. I'm making assumptions, being that you live in New York as an actor. It's probably in my head because we have my stepson, Tom's son, is in New York right now. Well, he's in Connecticut trying to be an actor. And I know that it's tough. So I have young person in my head. But I'm like, when you say eat healthy, I'm like, that's a lot of work, especially for one person in New York, I feel like.
Yes. I like to cook. Maybe
that helps.
That does help.
It started out back in high school. I lived with a guardian at the time when I was in high school, and the particular guardian did not cook at all, like really bad. And so I had to start cooking for myself. And then when I went to college, my second year, I was living in the residential housing on campus with another friend. And then we had two friends that came over every day, and we all made a deal that we'll cook every day. Me and my roommate will cook every day, and the other two friends would clean. And so I could cook whatever I wanted, and they'll just clean up. And then we just divided the bill at the end of the year. And so that for the entire year, I just was just like experimenting and cooking things that I wanted to cook. And I think that was like a good basis for now. So I really enjoy cooking. It's calming. I think some people find it really stressful, but it's like a nice way to, I think, to just be a little bit creative. And that way I can really control. Also, it's expensive to eat out now. It's like crazy.
Especially there. It's so crazy. Right. Like, we live in the Midwest. We live in the Midwest. When we go there, it's always just, oh my gosh, like that soda costs $50.
New York is insane. So crazy. So that way eating in also saves money as well. But I enjoy it, so it's fine.
That's great.
Yeah.
That really is.
Yeah.
So how did you break into act? That's a tough world.
Yeah.
I got into grad school. I did an MFA in acting. I guess that's my door into it. Mm-hmm. And that was like 3 years of training. And then that sort of got me into acting. But I started much earlier. Like I went to Michigan. I have a music degree, music education degree. And so I think that was when I started to do a little like theater shows on the side, did musicals and things like that. And then decided that I really wanted to pursue it and was lucky enough to get into MFA program at the Actors Studio here in New York.
Oh, wow.
And
very nice.
So then after that, I felt like this was a while ago though. This was like over 10 years ago.
Wow.
It was still a big deal then.
Yeah.
It was not. Oh, I went to Yale, but it was like 10 years when Yale was a big pile of shit.
It was a while ago. Yeah.
That still counts.
Yes.
That's an amazing accomplishment. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
And unlike Yale, I don't think your parents can buy your way in.
That's true. Yeah.
You
don't have the talent, you're not going to be there. That's so true.
So have you been in anything we might be familiar with? I know that there's so many different ways to act.
Where do you act? Do you act on Broadway? Do you act in shows? Do you where is your chosen?
Yeah, I would say majority of my theater career is regional.
Okay.
I've done off Broadway. The show I'm doing next year is also off Broadway. Most of my family lives in Thailand, so I've done theater there as well.
Oh, that's
local
so
theater
cool.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some TV shows here in the city.
That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
So do you speak tie?
I do.
Okay, so when you're acting there, or are you? Is that the language you're acting in?
I've done shows in English there as well, and also in Thai.
So does that affect your acting style, your acting choices when you toggle into a different language?
I think Thai is harder for me because I grew up in the States.
Sure.
Sure.
But I spent a good couple of years over there, so I can speak the language. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't dream in Thai like I dream in English. So it takes like an extra step.
Yeah.
Like a little longer to get to that point where it fits in my mouth in a way that feels good. But yeah, that's an interesting question because it's like when you speak a different language and you have to act in that language, you have to do it in a way that makes it sound like you are native to that language.
Yeah. I was going to ask, like, do you have an accent that native Thai speakers would be like, oh, that's not how we say things?
Oh, yeah. What a great question.
It's subtle. Like, it'll say that you didn't go to school here is what they would say.
Okay.
It sounds fine, but it sounds like I was educated abroad.
Okay.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I would think that would be difficult. I know with acting, it's very important to stay in the moment. And I would feel like if I was having to speak in a different language. Now, also, I have absolutely no other language skills. I'm projecting to somewhat probably, but it would be difficult to stay in the moment if I was constantly in my head having to be like, do this in a different language.
Speak like just like enough Spanish to like to be able to go to the bathroom if I go to Mexico, you know what I mean? Like it's like just but I can understand Spanish, and every time we go somewhere where I can practice, if you will, I never feel comfortable. I never trust the words coming out of my mouth, and so I can't even imagine acting in another language because I always second guess myself and I go too slow.
But like, if you had, say, time to practice, like the show is like a month from now this you have the script already and you just have to speak the words that are on the page, that I can do. That gives me enough time. Like I can speak it fine and read it fine, but getting it to fit in my mouth and also act will take a little bit more time.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit of a process. Also, the director spoke English as well. So during the rehearsal process, I could speak both. If something like a word I couldn't think of in Thai, like I could just say in English. So that's how I went about it. What people see on stage is, oh, he speaks Thai. It's fine.
Yeah. Which but is if, everybody's like, doing their job.
That's, but if anybody goes off script.
I was thinking like your day job, if you were doing digital puppetry in Thai, that would be, now that might be hard.
That would be scary. Funny enough, when I applied for this job, they needed people who spoke Thai. That's actually how I got hired.
Wow.
I'm trained on doing some of the scenarios in Thai because they had some Thai clients. So I was training for it. I was dreading it. I was a little scared, but yeah, I think that would be a little scary.
I could see why. So. Yeah.
I totally get that.
Yeah. It's also like corporate language too. It's not like conversational.
There's a lot of subtleties when you're like, I'm speaking like a professional. Like if you're on a job interview, you're going to comport yourself in a different manner and to level up a language that's not necessarily your native tongue, even if you're fluent in it.
Because there's so many buzzwords in business and corporates, like in corporate.
How do you say synergy in Thai?
Right.
I think it's probably like synergy. You'll probably just adapt it. But yeah, I had another friend who like is much more comfortable in it, and I was just like asking her like, oh my goodness, like how do I say this, how do I say it? It's like a whole different thing, right? When you're like entering like the corporate world, it's like a different language. Now I have to speak it in Thai, which is, I don't even know how many hoops to go through there. But yeah.
Okay.
And there's probably just cultural subtleties that if you didn't grow up there, you might not always grasp.
Yeah.
Like in the workplace.
Every year I go back, I have to relearn it.
Sure.
Because there's new slang and new, that's the same anywhere. But it'll take me a good couple of days I need to watch some news and see what the young people are talking like.
You have to recalibrate
a little bit, get my brain back into gear, and then I'll be okay. But yeah, it's like new every time I go back.
Well, that makes total sense.
It does.
Yeah.
On the Peloton side of things, since they have the bike in the gym and you also lift weights, do you ever use any of the other Peloton content? Have you tried the new gym feature or anything like that?
I've never tried it.
I think you might like it.
I'm actually going after this, actually. So I will definitely check it out.
So there's a little tab on your app, right? If you pull a Peloton up on your phone and it's called Gym, you can follow along with the instructors and they'll be like, okay, do 5 bicep curls. And then you can follow along with that. So you can still like have some programming built in that you don't have to like think it through, but it's all right there in front of you. of you. So yeah, that might be something to try.
I think what's really great about the Peloton bike and the programs is that you don't have to think, what you're saying, you don't have to think about anything.
Yeah.
It's just so wonderful because someday I really don't. I'm too tired. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And talking about like the programs, like the instructors, like they're really great motivators as well. Like a lot of fun and great music. So a lot of the time I'm going into the mindset of just push me, I'll do it. Just tell me what to do. I'll turn the knob. It's really great that way.
Since you live in New York, have you gone into the studio to take a class?
I've never gone.
Oh my God.
I know.
That explodes.
I know. I just go downstairs.
Okay.
I just go downstairs.
Some of us are not fanatics.
When you live in New York, like, all that stuff. It's like how we're in St. Louis.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't go up in the Arch until I was like 19.
It's true.
Because it's right there.
It's right there.
I'll get to it.
Yeah.
I'll get to it.
Yeah. And also, like, I really love the live classes where there's other bikes in there because it makes me feel like I'm not alone. So I really enjoy doing those.
But you could do that in the studio.
Yeah, that could do in the studio too. That's right.
There would be
tomorrow,
people with you.
I'm going to go to the studio.
You have to sign up.
Yes, but now you can't do this anymore because it's such a process. It's like trying to get on the Today Show.
Well, if you ever want to go, let me know. I will help you get, I'll like help you do the press.
Yes.
I would love to. Yeah.
What is your leaderboard name?
My name on the name, Ride or Die NYC 1983.
I love it.
Awesome. Do you have a preferred instructor?
I have a couple. I really love Cody. He's like always really fun. And he does like the live DJs.
Yeah.
Which is also really fun. And I love his music as well. Eric from Germany.
Jaeger.
Yeah. So do you speak German?
Yeah. Because he does house and techno music.
But do you?
Which I really love.
But do you speak German?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I just love the music.
I was like, three languages? Go to hell.
But sometimes he has done like classes in New York where he speaks English. So I've done those classes at the Peloton bike. But he does like house music and techno music, which I really enjoy. And sometimes it's just like riding the bike and listening to that. It just gets you going.
Yeah.
So I do that. Sam, of course, for some Broadway flair.
Yes.
And I like Dennis. I like Dennis as well. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
That is an interesting trio. Yeah. I've never heard that trio.
You like the music, he should try Lane Break.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. Have you ever tried Lane Break? So on the bike, if we know you're looking at the bike when you first log on, they have a thing at the bottom that says more rides. If you go there, they have this other interface. It's called Lane Break, and it's a game. It's a game that you play, and you use the resistance knob to go up and down on the resistance, and you go across the board. It's like you follow along.
It's like Guitar Hero, but on your bike.
Oh.
Yes, exactly. But you can, they have all these songs, they have all these music pieces already put together. So there would be like a house techno that you would just do for 30 minutes while you're just like totally in the zone. And it's amazing. I love Lane Break for that reason, because sometimes like one of my favorites is Alanis Morissette, like just listening to Alanis Morissette while just doing that or like listening to, I don't know, Cher, just like having all of that. It's amazing. So
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I think you might like that. Also, I don't know if you've taken any classes with Ben Alden, but I think he does a lot of house music as well. So that might be another.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Another.
Yeah.
I think he's more EDM. I don't know how that like crosses over with house.
I love EDM too.
Yeah. I think you might like him.
Because it's something about it that like, I don't know, like just the music of it just keeps you going. It just has that rhythmic repetition that puts you in almost like a meditation somehow.
Yeah. Moving meditation.
So sometimes, exactly. So sometimes like with Eric, because he's speaking German that I don't really understand anyway. So I'll just watch him and then put on like on the volume. I'll just put like more music. So I just hear him in the background and just do it that way. But yeah, every time I go to the bike, I'm like searching. I'm like, what I'm in the mood for? Like, do you want it 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 45 minutes? And then what kind of music? And then the instructor. It's like kind of nice that you can just like, what do I feel like doing today? Or it's nice that you have like that option.
Absolutely.
So I really enjoy that. Because there's so much to do. There's so much option on the program that you can just like really do whatever you want.
Yeah, any kind of music, any kind of instructor, if you want to have something that's a little more upbeat, you want to have something that's a little more chill, you want to have like steady, like totally lots of options.
What's your mood today? Like,
exactly.
So sometimes it's EDM and sometimes it's Broadway. You know what I mean? It's just,
I need EDM Broadway.
Exactly.
Wait, I just invented something.
Yeah.
I have to stop this right now.
Now you can,
there's a show right now on Broadway called Here Lies Love.
Yeah.
That it's not EDM, but it has like a techno-y kind of flair to it. Ooh. That might be a little bit, yeah.
Something interesting. Like I haven't heard of that.
I haven't either. Yeah. We'll have to check that out.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us. We really appreciate it. Before we let you go, let everybody know where they can find you, assuming you would like to be found. I'm assuming since you're an actor, you would like the followers and stuff.
Yeah, sure. Well, my Instagram is the best place, probably. My name, Vin Kritikorn, V-I-N-K-R-I-D-A-K-N.
So someone didn't already have that?
In case you're wondering. And if you're in the city in February, I'm doing a show called Warrior Sisters of Wu by Pan Asia Repertory Theater. Come check me out.
That's awesome. Wonderful.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Vin.
Yeah.
So I guess that brings this episode to a close. Until next week, where can people find you?
People can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/CrystalDOKeefe. They can also find me on all socials and the leaderboard at Clip Out Crystal.
And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/TheClipOut. Also, don't forget, there is tons of more stuff in this week's bonus episode. If you've always wondered what a bonus episode entails and you weren't sure if you wanted to spend the money to find out, it is free for you this week. So go on over to patreon.com/TheClipOut, sign up at the free level. We don't take your credit card or anything like that. And you can listen to this one for free on your computer. So we'd love to have you. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, keep pedaling.
And running.
And rowing.